How do we go about getting this off the chest?
Like, what do you have on there?
Well,
it's easy. Like, yeah, the Dodgers signed another player,
right.
Roky Sasaki, and
right.
he's either good or not good, but it seems like a lot of people wanted him, and he went there. So,
well, everybody wanted him because he's supposedly, he's got the stuff of stars.
Sure.
And he didn't wait. I don't want to go through the whole explaining all of this with the international bonus pool and all of that.
Right.
If he had waited a few years, he could have done like what Yamamoto did and commanded a very, very big free agent salary. He didn't do that. He wanted to come over and learn now from Major League Baseball players. So he's not only wildly talented, he's incredibly young and incredibly cheap. So who didn't want him? Everybody can afford him.
And that's the point, is baseball is so beyond broken. And like, the best thing about football is that your team can suck.
Thank you.
And you can play a last place schedule. You can get a couple of good players and an up and coming coach, and you can make a quaint little run. You can sneak in and be a playoff team. And in basketball is a little different because if you're not a big market, you're really in an uphill battle.
Totally.
But baseball is even more dramatic that way. Like, if you're the Dodgers, you get everyone. And now that you can defer salary, so you can pay Shohei Ohtani $700 million, but you don't have to pay any of it now. You could pay it all later. So, you know, you get all the best players, and you don't really have a tax that you have to pay that's dramatic.
I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at. And for those of you who are just joining, Roky Sasaki is signing with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, Grandy, would you read off the potential starting rotation for the Los Angeles Dodgers this year?
Yeah, let's start at the top. Shohei Ohtani.
Okay, that's one.
Then Blake Snell. Hardly knew ya.
Mm-hmm.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Sure.
Tyler Glasnow.
Great.
And then likely Roky Sasaki as their number five.
All right, as their number five. So you asked if he was their number five starter. You weren't even kidding.
Right.
Like, yeah, he is.
Maybe.
Maybe. Are they bringing Kershaw back, too, just to flank these guys? Like, here's the point. The reason I ask how do you go about getting this off the chest is I'm a Giants fan, and I don't want to sound like this is just Dodger sour grapes. It's not. I'm not mad at the Dodgers for this. Not even a little bit. They should be proud of themselves. They worked the system. They have the resources, and they worked the system. They have taken advantage of everything that is put in front of them. If I were a Dodger fan, barf, I would love everything that they're doing. However, short-term game, long-term loss, absolutely. Not for the Dodgers, but for the game. You're becoming college football. Grandy Lucas, don't get mad at me. I don't hate college football, but there are certain things about it, and it's why, for instance, when you and I sort of debated this a few weeks ago with regard to what college football is doing now with their championship bracket and an 8-team playoff, whether you love it, hate it, think it's concocted, here's one thing that it does do. It brings more people to the party. College football for too many years was stuck in a thing where they would get to January, and basically the southeast corner of the country was the only group that was there. Cool. Clemson's playing Alabama. I don't give a rip. You got to give us an Oregon or an Arizona State or something. You got to give us something and put us in the party. And that's what baseball is now doing. It's great. Oh, dynasties are great. And yes, traveling road shows. And maybe this sounds ridiculous coming from a Warrior fan. The bottom line is this. You're Xing 90% of your teams out of the national discourse. And that is stupid. It's stupid. And the point you just made about football is a great one. One of the most storied organizations in the NFL lives in a tiny town in Wisconsin. That's great. And you can see the way people respond to that. They have become a national brand. And I've been there. It's tiny. It is a thumbprint of a town. And they have a presence across America as one of the great brands in sports. Baseball will never have that. You can be in a big city and you're a tiny town. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, whatever. I don't know what the fix is, but there needs to be a fix. You can't do this. This is just, it's not fun for anyone. And it will even become boring in the end to Dodger fans. I promise you, it's why Warrior fans love the first title and the fourth title more than they love the ones in the middle, because those were too easy.
That's an interesting notion about it becoming boring, because I'll turn again to the guys behind the glass who love the English Premier League even more than I do. These guys are diehards, and if you look at the Prem, as it is called from a colloquialism, and you look at the top teams and what they spend, they're the teams that always finish in, maybe not always in the top four, but they're always in the mix, and it's Man City, Chelsea, Man U, and Arsenal, and Liverpool. Those are the big five spenders, and those five are usually in the top seven, at least, unless Man U, I mean, Man U has been in a little bit of a bad spot, and so I don't know if those fans, like these two behind the glass, are Arsenal fans. I don't know if they get bored with the fact that they're always good, and it's a little different because Arsenal never really wins the Prem.
You can leave that part out.
Well, I know, but for Mark, who doesn't, you know, follow it as closely as we do, but at least you know when you're an Arsenal fan,
sure,
you're in it. And when you're a Dodger fan, a Yankee fan, a Red Sox fan, for the most part, you're in it.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. And you guys tell me, I mean, is the Premier League set up where basically those teams that you didn't mention are all the Washington Generals? Because that's
usually
what we're doing.
Although this year,
that's what we're doing.
You know, Grandy will, he mentioned yesterday or the day before Nottingham Forest, which is a team that had been recently promoted from the lower league.
Right.
And I'm looking at the salary that they pay, and they might be, they're at 14th in what they pay, and yet they're third right now in the Premier League. And I mentioned Leicester City to you before, which was the most unbelievable title ever. A team that had this kid, Jamie Vardy, who was a, you know, hard scrabble nobody, and he became a thing and they won the league, but that doesn't ever really happen. So it's kind of, if you're not one of those teams, if you're a fan of,
well,
you know, a middling team, you kind of know going in, and you have no chance.
And that's okay. That's always been present in most sports.
Most sports, yeah.
That's always to a degree. I just feel like baseball right now is now in a steroided version of what we're talking about.
No doubt.
Like, it's out of control. You, to the point where you look at what just happened to the A's is part of this conversation. The Pirates, the Reds, the Marlins, they these teams exist so that we can fill out a schedule. You've got five superstar starting pitchers, and you couldn't name a Marlin. You couldn't even name a
player. Don't make me name a Marlin.
Name a Ray. Hit me with it. Let's go. Let's talk about it.
Rocco Baladelli. Yeah. He's still playing, right?
I think he's the manager of the Twins.
I think he was an original Ray, is the point.
And you also added an I. It's
whatever.
Just Baldelli, but
Baldelli,
anyway.
Baldelli. The point is well taken,
funny.
Though.
It's just, yeah, it's too much.
I'm looking at the salaries from last year, and the Mets were at $314 million, the Yankees $308, and I won't bore you with the list, but then you get to the bottom, and the A's were at $62.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, $84. So the A's paid $62 million in total payroll, which is 1/6 of what the Mets and Yankees
paid.
Yeah,
it's not a real sport is what you start flirting with. And by the way, again, this is not sour grapes. Everything that we're saying right now, I would argue, opens teams like the Giants up to criticism. Because it's like, if you do have great resources, why are you not acting like them? Why have you let them do this? Do they have a few more dollars than you? Maybe. Is their weather a little bit nicer? Sure. But what do they really have on you? You'd like Red Sox, Giants. What? Why? Why do you just sit here and be like, can't compete with the Dodgers and Yankees? Why? Why? Yes, you can. Mission Rock. Why are we getting stories from Andy Baggerly about, Corbin Burns, ownership doesn't want to spend. Bleep you. You don't want to spend. Neither do I. Lower the pizza prices then. Like that, it completely opens these teams up to criticism. So this is not sour grapes. I wish my team could win. I point to the Giants for why they haven't been run better. But baseball does have an issue. You do need to, at a certain point, look at this and go, whoops, what door did we open that the Dodgers legally walked through that we should have locked? Because this is not what we meant.
Well, it's Pandora. It's Pandora's box, and it's open, and it's never going back, because the players will not go and say, you know what? We want a salary cap. We want to cap this thing to make it fair. And the owners are not going to say, you know what? We want a salary cap because we also want to make it fair. The rich want to spend to win, and the players are going to take every last dollar of their guaranteed money. Yeah. So this will never get fixed. And what unfortunately is going to happen is more things like the A's, where the A's leave town because they can't make money here, which is a lie, John Fisher, weasel. And you go to Sacramento and eventually Vegas and you get a cash grab, and then you're not going to be any better, and you're not going to suddenly spend $300 million to try to win. You're going to try to make money. And look at your team, our team,
yeah,
down the road here. All they want to do is break even and make a little bit of money. And if they break even and they make, I don't know, $20 million a year at Mission Rock or whatever they're going to make on that, then they're thrilled. Doesn't matter if you chase a title or not.
And that's why they are opened up to criticism. And that's why I compare baseball right now to some of the feeling that I get across college football, which is that you're constantly facing games where you're like, well, these, we're not even, are we all from the same league? Like, what are we doing here? Alabama versus the Citadel? Are we playing a game here? Or are we just exchanging money, filling up the stands, having a dog, 17 beers, screaming and yelling and going Roll Tide? What are we doing here?
To go back to what Dibs brought up about the Premier League in soccer, there are games like that all the time in the Premier League. Sure. Like, you have a team like Ipswich Town or Wolves or Southampton.
I love Wolves.
Some of the worst teams in the Premier League. What's different about the Premier League, and it's because of the relegation factor.
Yes.
Just being in the Premier League feels like a championship in and of itself. And you get so much money, and it boosters your club for the future. Just being at the highest level is enough of a championship for those teams, and you can deal with getting like 6 wins over the course of an entire season because you just are so overjoyed to be there. That's not the case anywhere in North American sports.
And you got to fight for 17th place.
Yeah, and you guys are, I think, what you're talking about seems like that's been baked in to the history of that sport and that league, similar to college football. I get that there's certain pieces of that you can't change. Alabama is what Alabama is because it's Alabama. Like, I can't put the Citadel on equal footing with Alabama no matter what we do. But Major League Baseball hasn't always been like this. That's not the way that they drew this up.
Right.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is not a small town. But they're over here being like, by the way, neither's Oakland. But we're over here like, nah, I'm sorry, can't compete. Can't even, why? And again, I don't blame the Dodgers, but doors got left open that people walked through that should have been locked. That and the Ohtani contract is Exhibit A.
Yeah.
That should not be. If that's going to open us up to this, where you can literally have the best team with most of the best players, start adding all the other best players to it without having to spend any money, who the hell let that happen?
Right.
I don't know, man. You can say, hey, they earned it. They're the ones who have that cash flow or whatever. Sure, that's part of sports. Like, Mark Davis and Jed York are not on equal footing. The 49ers can afford more in signing bonus money because Jed York has more cash on hand and because he's willing. And so there will always be good owners in sports and bad owners in sports and those with more resources than others. That's life. So I'm okay with that. But again, this got injected with steroids in a way that there is no way that the sport intended to have happen. We can eliminate 88% of the teams before the year even starts.
No doubt. And I'm just hearing you and I'm thinking about exactly, you know, what has happened in the time since you and I were kids. And you were mentioning Pittsburgh and they won the whole thing in 79 and in 82, it was St. Louis, Baltimore in 83, Detroit, then Kansas City, Minnesota a couple years later. Oakland, of course, got there. Cincinnati got one the year after. And you think about who's won it of recent vintage, and it's the big spenders for the most part, and it's the big markets. I'm looking at the last time a small market team won the World Series, and it was Kansas City back in 2015 when they knocked off the Mets. And when you're Kansas City and you get one, you don't get to sustain it because the players that you have are going to want a ton, when they're superstars and they're going to go elsewhere to these markets who can afford to give you a lot more money.
Well, and I also, like, I get bothered by the fact that we even have to refer to them as a small market. I understand that Kansas City is not New York or LA, but it's also Kansas City. By the way, their football team's in the middle of a dynasty.
Right, no, no, but that's a salary cap league.
Again,
and that's
right.
The point.
That's the point.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's the point. And I know baseball has always had the biggest, baddest players union, and the toothpaste is out of the tube,
yep.
And you're right, there will never be a salary cap. But there has to be something. There has to be something. And I would argue this is even for the players. Not everybody gets to get an offer from the Dodgers. So that's great. If you get offered Blake Snell, Michael Conforto, go ahead. Play for them. Get your ring. Get your attention. I'm not mad at you at all. But at a certain point, this starts to become a net negative for the players too, because there are more than half of the teams in Major League Baseball who will not offer big contracts anymore. It's why Scott Boras's clients keep sitting there in February like, not signing yet, and you have to end up with one plus one,
yep.
Because no one's out there offering deals anymore. Part of this is on baseball, and it's not directed at the players, it's directed at the owners. Forget salary cap, there needs to be a salary floor. If you're an owner of a baseball team, you've got to spend. You're not allowed to do this $62 million payroll. That's absurd.
Well, and they finally did away with the revenue sharing that teams like Oakland relied on. John Fisher played the system where you wouldn't spend that much money, and it was because you were on the dole and the league was giving you money as an underperforming revenue team. There are so many things about baseball that are beyond broken, and for me, the biggest one beyond what you're talking about is the fact that if you are a good player, you got to do 6 years of servitude before you even go out there and get your money. So if you are drafted by, let's just say, Minnesota, and I think that, was it Rooker for the A's who just signed that deal?
Yeah.
And, you know, he signed early and he signed for way below market because he knew that he was 30 years old and he would have had to have three more good years to go out there and really get a big deal.
And not get hurt.
Right. So instead he's like, I'm going to take below market and get a bird in the hand kind of an offer.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mike Yastrzemski's another great example, a guy who he's been good and he's far outperformed his ARB1, ARB2, ARB3 deals. But, you know, you're on the hook and that's just the way it goes in Major League Baseball.
Well, and if you're someone like Yaz, who doesn't really get his big league shot until his late 20s, that's it. That's your career.
That's it.
When you're done with ARB, you're 36, nobody wants you.
Right.
Nobody wants to sign you to a deal. Yaz will never get an opportunity to even go get a three-year deal. Like, never. He will not get that opportunity because no one found him until he was like 28.
Right.
So, yeah, the whole system of arbitration can't stand. I know there'll never be a salary cap. If there is some way, though, like, again, if I were going to rule this for a day, salary floor for owners, absolutely. Arbitration system, where's the trash can? And this deferment of $700 million,
yeah.
That's going to be a no from me, dog.
Right.
Like, that's it.
Those
three things.
You can defer it, but the cap
not
hit.
Like that.
I mean, it should still hit you to where on the annual luxury tax payment or whatever it is you have to pay in baseball,
well,
that would be there.
Yes, and I'm not allowing you to defer 98% of it,
right,
either.
Exactly.
Like, no, no. Some, fine. But $680 million of the $700?
Yeah. I mean, it's just,
what are we doing?
It's nonsense. And it's,
what are we doing?
Well, and we all love football for so many reasons, but the one big reason why I love it is the competitive balance aspect of it where, you know, even a team like the Niners, well, you know, if you didn't have Brock Purdy and you had an actual quarterback, let's just say you still had Jimmy Garoppolo,
okay,
he's making 25 or he's making 30 or whatever it would have been, you'd be facing certain financial challenges, but the Niners were able to get a seventh-round quarterback making $1 million to be really, really good, and that turns out to be a gigantic advantage for you. You drafted him, and now you're going to pay him, and when you do pay him, well, now the scale tips a little bit in the other direction. So it becomes fair when you draft a guy and he works out and you pay him cheap labor. And that's why quarterbacks go in the first round where, you know, if Caleb Williams gets to be better next year, well, then good for you, Chicago. You finally found a quarterback and you get to benefit from that.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, we could even take this conversation to the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
I've always thought, and this is across all sports, if you drafted a player, the rules should be totally different. So, you know, like someone just texted in and goes, Dibs, the rule that you're talking about is literally what allows the A's to keep Rucker. Well, here's what I would do. Forget your stupid arbitration stuff, but give the A's total different rights of negotiation to Rucker because they drafted him. Like, the Splash Brothers would all still be together, and there would be so many other things that the Warriors would still be allowed to do financially if they didn't have to suffer the same consequences, luxury tax penalties, for signing their own guys. Now, if we're talking about Durant or Iguodala, different conversation. But, like, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson's salaries should not tally up on the luxury tax the same way some other contract would.
They do give you bird rights, though.
Bird rights.
When you have a guy, which allows you to, you know, keep a guy a little bit more easily. But I think the NBA is closer to, with their cap and their luxury tax, to, you know, making it equitable. The problem with the NBA is one player is such a huge part of any team that one player, a.k.a. Jimmy Butler, and, you know, what we talked about with the Ramona Shelburne article, if your one really good best player decides that he wants to blow up your spot, then you're in a really tough spot.